Funding for Think comes from SMU's continuing and professional education.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. How evenly do 21st century couples divide up their responsibilities? The traditional model of husband as sole breadwinner, wife as sole housekeeper is a thing of the past for most U.S. families. Redefining who should do how much laundry and cooking and yard work is challenging enough when both partners work away from home. Adding kids to the mix can be even tougher. But my guests today have firsthand experience to suggest that shouldering exactly 50% of the burdens of family life also allows each member of a couple to experience 100% of the joys of it. Authors Mark and Amy Vachon are dad and mom to two children and founders of a website called EquallySharedParenting.com. Their new book is called Equally Shared Parenting, Rewriting the Rules for a New Generation of Parents. Amy, Mark, welcome to Think.
Thank you.
This is not just about dividing parenting equally, but also housework and breadwinning and free time. Why does it need to encompass everything?
Well, I think it's because one of the two foundations of this lifestyle, one of the two main goals, is a balanced life for both partners. So often we can figure out how to divide a little piece of housework or a little piece of childcare, but we don't get the whole picture. So this is looking at the entire life of both parents and trying to put all the puzzle pieces together.
Was this something that you both decided on before your first daughter was born?
Well, we talked about it in theory on our first date. I was kind of toying around with my prescriptive as a male to climb up the corporate ladder and get ahead at work, and that wasn't working for me. I wasn't thinking I was going to work 40 years to get to the corner office. I was looking to try to create something else for myself. So when we first met, I said, you know, this is really important to me, and how do you feel about sharing the burdens, not only at home, but out in the workplace as well? And that kind of sparked the discussion of, you know, what our lives might look like when and if the day came when we had children.
That's really interesting. So was that a litmus test for you, Mark, when you would date people?
Well, it was. In some ways, it was. I think I was a little concerned of not knowing how women were going to respond to that. I think they typically look at males in their resume and determine whether or not they're going to be sufficient providers. And I didn't want to be pigeonholed into that role. I was looking for a teammate and a partner to walk along with me. So, yeah, I think I brought it up fairly regularly in my dating life.
And how did that strike you, Amy?
Oh, that was just what I wanted, actually. I had a deep need to find a partner who was going to be my equal partner. I wanted to be a mother someday, but I had heard so many stories about how difficult that is to juggle. And I had worked very hard to build a career that I loved and had a job I adored. So I didn't exactly know how that would fit, as so many mothers don't and then have to figure out. But with an equal partner, that just took so much of the worry away. And that's exactly what I wanted in marriage, is I wanted a peer all the way along.
You write that you're not trying to convert couples who don't want to do this. Is it possible, though, do you think, for one parent to convert the other?
Well, yes, we don't want to be converting people or saying that equally shared parenting is the right model for all families. However, we think that if couples took a look at what this lifestyle could bring to their relationship and really come out of the box and stop thinking about the roles that they feel they have to play and get from roles to relationship, we think that there's so many benefits to this lifestyle that appeal to men, not just to women, who often think, oh, where can I sign up my husband for this?
Yeah, the housework thing comes to mind because we know that, you know, dads are doing more than they have in the past, and moms still feel like they're doing twice as much as the dads.
And the statistics bear that out. So I think in a lot of situations that is true. Like Amy said, getting both people on the same team to create the life they want, not just in the details and the nitty-gritty of how to run the home, but, you know, when are they going to be able to find time to enjoy life outside the home, you know, play tennis, pursue recreational activities, hang out with friends, be able to pursue a career or a passion outside the home in their work life. So when they get those kinds of things on the table, if they can get both on the same team trying to create that, then it's a lot easier to divide the chores, saying we're all adults here. We know things have to be done around the home. So we just believe that burdening one person with all of those responsibilities doesn't really help the both partners fully enjoy their life.
Talk about this for a minute, because I think we all know couples where one person really believes that a proper house is vacuumed daily and the other person thinks, once a week is okay. And then there becomes a conflict because one person might be doing half of vacuuming once a week, but not half of vacuuming every day.
Oh, I think that's true in our house. That very vacuuming example could hold true. And that's an important point. You've got two people with two different household standards, and when we interviewed all of the couples for our book who practice this lifestyle along with us, there was no difference in that. They actually remarked a number of times how their housekeeping standards were quite different from each other. So what you have to do there is you have to come up where it makes sense and where it's a hot-button issue. You've got to come up with the family standard. What does this family stand for in terms of vacuuming our home? And that really gets into conversations a lot of couples don't end up having. And it doesn't have to happen with every single household chore, but with one that you do think is useful to split, for example, that kind of discussion has to come up.
And I think that's an important point that you said. It's a conflict for even many of the couples that are practicing this. This is not just simply something that works for people who never argue about anything and all automatically agree. It takes some give and take.
Absolutely. It takes actually wanting to come up with a solution together to all these crazy little puzzles.
Let's talk about breadwinning. I would imagine it's a relief in some ways, Mark, for guys who realize that they're no longer required. They're not the only one who's bringing in money to the house. But this does not require each person to bring in an equal amount of money necessarily.
Well, that's exactly right. We think working outside the home has value well beyond the level of the paycheck. Pursuing something you've spent years potentially learning in a particular field, getting educated in a field, we assume you like what you studied and it's something you want to pursue. So just getting outside the home and pursuing that with other adults and something you just get jazzed up about has all kinds of value. So, you know, if one person makes three times as much as the other person, they can work as a team to figure out how they can include the career domain for both of them so they don't give up on it just because the dollars and cents may not line up at first blush. We highly recommend people, you know, if they jump on, it's kind of like if you're strategizing to go on vacation a couple of years from now, you want to go on a two-week trip to Cancun. You got to figure out a way to fit that into your budget. And we said you got to do the same thing about what lifestyle you want to choose. Sure, you can follow the traditional mold and have one person gunning for the top dog position to maximize their income, but that many times sacrifices the needs and desires of the other partner. So if you both get on the same team and say, let's find a way to keep all of these roles available for each of us, that might give us a chance to optimize our lives as opposed to maximizing one person's income.
And what that also means, I guess, is that there's not one career in an equally shared parenting situation that takes precedence over the other.
That's right. So usually it's the man's career, although we're seeing a lot of that change these days with the recession. But yeah, in this case, it's neither person's career that takes precedence in all of those crazy times when your kids are homesick or there's a snow day from school or all the other business trip, this and that. Both careers are equally important when all those decisions are being made.
I wonder if there's still a bias against men who say, oh, I've got to drop everything because my little one just got sick at school, than there is against women.
I certainly think that does exist. But, you know, women have been fighting through that, and they might not have the cultural burden to overcome, but they may have the career burden in trying to get ahead. So if you're always checking out and you get mommy tracked, then it's more difficult to maintain that career moving forward. So both sides have their challenges, and I think the goal is to keep your eye on the prize. You know, what are you trying to get out of this? And if both parents are happy with this relationship and the ESP model, then they're both motivated to make it happen long term.
And you write here that it's important to start with men actually taking all the paternity leave they're given. Very often, you know, if a guy gets 3 weeks or something, it doesn't feel right to stay gone that long.
Yeah, I think I have mixed feelings about paternity leave. Certainly, if it's a benefit that's available to you, I'd highly recommend you take it. It gives you a good leg up to get in down and dirty with the details early on to create some of that intimacy with your child that, you know, moms frequently have a jump start on. But, you know, if you gave me my choice, I'd rather have the schedule I want long term. And if I could kick that in right after my first child was born, I'd say, great, I can do without 2 or 3 weeks off if I can have the schedule that's going to last, you know, 5 or 10 years down the road.
So what does it take to have the position within whatever company you work for to be able to ask for some of that flexibility?
Well, I think a lot of it comes down to being a valued employee. We talk in the book about the concept of being an artisanal worker, which is not necessarily, you know, a craftsman who's a, you know, a fine artist or anything along those lines. We put it in terms of loving what you do regardless of where you find yourself at the moment. So if you're processing insurance claims, find out what it is you're contributing here to this company. Get really good at it. And if you don't like it and you want to move on, fine. But you got to be in the moment and doing a good job wherever you are. So the company knows you as a valued employee. And when and if you ask for some flexible scheduling or different hours or things like that, they'll be more likely to take your request seriously.
Mark and Amy. Oh, go ahead, Amy.
I was going to say, I think it also takes courage, you know, not to minimize the fact that it's hard to be the first person at your company to walk in and ask for reduced hours or to ask for, to work 4 10-hour days instead of 5 8-hour days, for example. So it is, we've got some great stories in our book of parents who have taken the courage to do that, gotten a no, gotten another no, and then gotten a yes.
So ask more than once if you have to. Mark and Amy Vachon are my guests. They are authors of a new book called Equally Shared Parenting, Rewriting the Rules for a New Generation of Parents. We'll resume our conversation with them in a moment. You can get on the line now to join us by calling 1-800-933-5372. You can also send email to think@kera.org. Jeff Whittington is back now, senior producer of Think and host of Anything You Ever Wanted to Know. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Chris. What a great conversation. What great guests. I hope that you and the audience are enjoying this as much as we are. And if you are, please call 888-694-6931 or go online to kera.org and make your contribution there. You can get your very own copy of the book Equally Shared Parenting when you join the station today at the $120 membership level. It's our standard book membership level. And we say it every time. We probably oversay it. We're not selling you this book for $120, just like we're not selling you a Think coffee mug for $60. These are tokens of our appreciation, of the station's appreciation, for your support, your financial support. Of course, you can go out and get a copy of the Vachon's book at any retailer or online. It's available. It's out. It's getting some good reviews, and we were really excited to be able to get them both on the show today.
1-888-694-6931 is the telephone number to join the station, make a gift of support. You know what amount is correct for you, but you must also understand that we're here because we're able to pay our bills. We have dues to NPR. We have the administrative costs of running the station. We have salaries. Now, everybody who works here is very committed to keeping those costs as low as possible because, quite frankly, when you send money, we want to use it on programming. We try to, you know, keep the power costs and the paper costs and everything as low as we possibly can. We, you know, have cut down travel and everything else because we believe the most important application for your money is the programming itself. Your support makes it possible. You can go online to kera.org or you can call us at 1-888-694-6931.
You know, Chris, how, when you're growing up, your mom walked around behind you and turned the lights off and stuff.
That's me now.
Right. Well, that's everybody here. if the lights are always being turned off. That's just the mentality of everybody that works here. And it's very important to us to use your generous contributions as wisely as possible. And we sit down and we talk about it, and lots of people really fret over every dollar spent at KERA. And, you know, so you can rest assured and you can trust that your contribution is going to be used to its absolute fullest when you call 888-694-6931 or when you contribute online at kera.org.
We want to say thanks to Tom Metcalf in Plano and Pam Tidwell in Plano. Appreciate your contribution. Also, Abe Thomas in Richardson. Thanks to Aaron Williams in Dallas and Kathy Doyle in Dallas and Deborah Weigel in Garland. Your calls, your online pledges make all of this work possible. The telephone number is 1-888-694-6931, or you can go online to kera.org.
And don't forget, you can get your very own copy of Equally Shared Parenting, Rewriting the Rules for a New Generation of Parents by our guests, Mark and Amy Vachon. When you join the station at the $120 membership level, please don't wait. Please do it now, 888-694-6931, or go online to kera.org. It is your contribution that makes it all possible. So please do your part and do it now. Thanks so much.
Funding for Think comes from SMU's continuing and professional education. Hundreds of non-credit personal enrichment and professional development courses begin this spring. Details online at smu.edu/CAPE.
You're You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. My guests this hour are Amy and Mark Vachon. They have a terrific website at equallysharedparenting.com. Their new book is called Equally Shared Parenting, Rewriting the Rules for a New Generation of Parents. You can join us by calling 1-800-933-5372 or send email to think@kera.org. We would love to hear from some of you who have experimented with a form of this, maybe hear about what's gone really well and what you've struggled with. So do contact us this afternoon. Let's talk about the child raising, because there is so much more communication when you are truly sharing every single thing 50-50, including deciding who's on and who's off at any particular moment of the day.
Well, yeah, kids sort of have a way of making things complicated. They're you know, separate individuals, as we all know, and they have their own ways of wanting to get things done. I guess first I'd like to make the point that we do not advocate splitting every chore down the middle 50-50. We look at the four main dimensions of parenthood, which are, you know, breadwinning, childcare, taking care of the home, and then time and recreation for yourself outside the home. So we look at it in terms of equal time investment in each of those four main domains. So if you want to divide the chores, you know, taking care of the home by preference or skill or gender, it doesn't matter to us, as long as overall it comes out relatively even. So when it comes to kids, we try to build into our schedule, equivalent amounts of time to be able to be with them. So I have one day off a week, Amy also has one day off a week, and many of the couples we interviewed have all different types of, you know, wacky schedules to try to work this out. But to give each of us an equivalent amount of time to be alone with them, to pursue things our own way, to, you know, make dinner, to do shopping, all of those kinds of things. Kids, we believe, will learn, two ways of approaching the world by having access to both of us equally.
I know that you spoke to several same-sex couples when you were working on the project, and we hear now from Matt in Louisville, who writes, as part of a same-sex partnership, I think we both share home and career responsibilities equally. Do you think that it may be easier when gender roles are blurred?
Absolutely. There's some statistics out there that show that same-sex couples definitely have approached that equality of chore sharing and roles much better than heterosexual couples, and we can learn a lot from them. And in fact, we learned a lot from the same-sex couples that we interviewed for the book. They also tell us that it's not, you know, it doesn't take away the work of trying to stay equal. Even if you don't have gender roles right in front of you trying to dictate what you need to do, there's still some staying on track that you need to do, even in a same-sex couple.
I love that there's an example in the book from a same-sex couple. It's one of my favorites, where the non-bio mom went to the mom's group, took their child there. You know, all the moms in the group were obviously the bio moms. They were the moms who had the children. And here they are, a bunch of women sitting around talking, and many of the women in the group are saying, my husband can't do half the work or even any of the work because he's in graduate school and needs his time to be pursuing his studies. And this woman, who's the non-bio mom, says, well, wait a minute, I'm in graduate school as well. One of the reasons why I feel like I can contribute to the running of the home and taking care of my child is because I'm in graduate school. I have some of the flexibility. So she was kind of challenging that stereotype, which is men have the free pass when they go to work or doing something important outside the home, and the woman is expected to take care of everything. And she was right there saying, no, it shouldn't be that way. We should look at two people working together to try to find a way to make all this work.
Do you find that it's common for one parent or the other to sort of feel like he or she is better at something and therefore should be in charge? You'll hear sometimes about, you know, dads will complain, I want to help, but my wife says that I'm not doing it right.
I think that's women's biggest challenge, or at least it has been for me and many of the women I've spoken to get the heck out of the way in terms of not only what the chores are that need to be done, but how they need to be done, who takes the, you know, responsibility, who has the ultimate power in decision-making. And that depth of letting go is, I think, very unappreciated, or we don't realize how deep we have to get in trusting our partner and letting go.
I've heard from many men that exact scenario, which is, you know, early on in our relationship, I used to make the beds, I used to cook dinner a couple nights a week, and I got nothing but complaints. So they said they finally just gave up, said, you want to do it? Go ahead. And then that kind of builds resentment into the relationship, unfortunately, as opposed to stepping back and, you know, getting on the same team and figuring it out and then addressing some of the hurdles that Amy just mentioned.
You're both big believers in the value of having a little time to yourselves, not only time together alone away from the kids, but just on your own. And you write that it's important to sort of get over the hurdle of feeling guilty about wanting and enjoying that time.
Definitely. I think especially for moms, maybe I shouldn't say that, but as a mom,
I
will say it is hard for us to think that we can take time from our lives when we could be spending that time with our children or getting the house in shape because it's going to reflect on us. So it's hard for us to put ourselves first, and we speak a lot in the book about all of the really good reasons to do that, including the fact that you come home more energized and able to tackle all of the other things, and then you bring that joy back to your children, who are awfully glad to see their parents happy.
And it doesn't necessarily... Oh, go ahead, Mark.
I was going to say, I think of another example from the book where there was a traditional couple. He was a mechanical engineer making, you know, a decent wage, and he was the sole breadwinner, and his wife stayed home with their three kids, I believe. And whenever he got home or home from a business trip, she always felt guilty leaving the house because they had such little amounts of family time that she felt like she couldn't give that up to go out with her friends. So when they transitioned into an ESP relationship, she went back to work brief, you know, to carve out some time, and he actually changed careers to be a firefighter. They took a big cut in family income initially, but allowed them to create the life they wanted. And now she speaks just glowingly about her life, and him as well, about both having time for the things they didn't have previously. He gets more time with his kids, and she gets time to be outside the home, and she doesn't feel guilty at all going out and creating, you know, going to the movies or out to dinner with her friends. So both of them are much happier in their current arrangement.
Yeah, that's an important point because, you know, we often think about money as being sort of a liberating thing, but the one thing it can't buy us is more time.
Right.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. If you are equally sharing parenting or perhaps would like to try and wonder how you might do that, give us a call. Mark and Amy Vachon will talk to you about it. Their book is called Equally Shared Parenting, Rewriting the Rules for a New Generation of Parents. I think there are some cases in which parents are sharing things, but one parent sort of takes marching orders from the other. And I don't say that necessarily in a negative way, but one parent will be in charge of responding to birthday party invitations and knowing what the calendar is. And the other one waits to be told, pick up at this time and drop off at that time, and this is what you should do in between. That's not entirely equal in your view.
No, we're looking at equality down to the responsibility and power sharing level,
yeah,
so that you're both capable of making those decisions, that one person doesn't have to keep the reminding as their responsibility, because although that may not take a certain number of minutes per day to remember, it takes a lot of energy. So we're talking about sharing that energy as well.
And many of the guys weighed in our interviews along these lines saying, yeah, that's fine, but if I'm going to be expected to contribute and to remember all of the things that need to be done, I need to be able to weigh in equally as well as to what needs to be done for this family. And I can think of an example where the mom was trying to say, okay, here's a bunch of things we have to do for our preschool. And the dad was saying, but I don't think we have to do all of those things. So they had to have that discussion to come up with what the family standard was for all of these things that needed to be done by the family. And once they could bang those details out, then they easily could assign the task. Okay, now it's up to you. Here's our minimum requirement of what needs to be done for the preschool. And then he was more than happy to participate. But he wanted to make sure that he didn't just get a long list of chores to do. The whole honey-do list wasn't fulfilling for him. Yeah, he can punch things off the list, but he was a second-class citizen in his home. So I think the bigger issue is, you know, again, getting on the same team so they can both aggressively and enthusiastically pursue their chores, not do them out of resentment, out of a sense of duty. It's more that they want to get it done because it contributes to their overall best life.
What kind of calendar do you keep together? I know you both work outside the home, and obviously you've worked on this project together. You're raising kids together. Do you have an online calendar that you both consult?
We do. I have a work phone, and while not just us, but many couples say the same kinds of things. But yeah, it's either an online calendar or in our specific case, I have a work phone which I can sync up with our calendar at home, and Amy can also sync up with that same calendar. So I have my work appointments on my phone. She has her work appointments on her phone, and then we have private appointments which go to both devices that are family events.
So if it's not on the family calendar, it just doesn't exist.
Pretty much. Right?
We're not that perfect.
We have an email here from Carolyn in Denton who writes, I'm a divorced mother. My first marriage was traditional with regard to household duties and breadwinning. Now I would like to eventually remarry and have another child, yet I would be coming into a new relationship with three young children. How do you think that this could be handled equally?
Wow. Well, what we talk about in the book, a little bit at the end about the whole dating expectations between genders. And, you know, women often play the homemaking role, say, I can take care of the home, and the guys are out there puffing up their chest saying how great of a income earner they can be. And we kind of challenge couples to face that early on as they're negotiating their relationship. So, yeah, as this woman's approaching a new relationship, I guess you want to be honest with the kind of life you're trying to create, which is enough time for both people to really enjoy their life. I think from a male perspective, if a woman's approaching me with kids for a first-time relationship, I'm thinking if she wants me to just be the breadwinner for the next 40 years and take care of her kids so she can stop working, that's not going to be particularly attractive. If I connect with someone who I'm interested in and they have kids and she's dedicated to having just as great of a life as I am, then great, we can find a way to make this work. So I think just having that mindset going in might be a way to create the ESP lifestyle long-term.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. My guests this hour are Mark and Amy Vachon. They are founders of EquallySharedParenting.com. Their new book is called Equally Shared Parenting, Rewriting the Rules for a New Generation of Parents. We'll resume our conversation in just a moment and invite you to join us by sending email to think@kera.org or by calling 1-800-933-5372. If you are interested in the conversation and want to support the kinds of discussions that we're able to have for you on Think and across the broadcast day on KERA, give us a call now at 1-888-694-6931 or go online and make a contribution at KERA.org. Hello, Jeff Whittington.
Hey, Chris Boyd, and I want to issue a few thanks.
Excellent.
I want to thank Khatija Nurani and Carrollton for her gift of support. Nancy Litauer in Dallas, also want to thank her. I want to thank Barbara Kelly in Plano and Robert Verdon in Dallas. Kimberly Everson and Alan, thank you so much, Kimberly, and also Connie Nave in Bedford. Thank you, Connie. And also Burley Vandergriff in Dallas and Gail Dino in Allen. Thank you so much to each of you for calling 888-694-6931 or for contributing online at kera.org. We're a few thousand dollars away from our goal this hour by the 2 o'clock to get to $250,000 raised. And so far, the grand total is at $246,000. So your call right now to 888-694-6931 or your gift online at kera.org will help us get that much closer.
Public radio is a service for the community and by the community. It really exists because we're all part of a team. And I don't just mean those of us who draw a paycheck here at KERA and come in every day. I mean, you're part of the team. When you support the station financially, when you realize how many hours a day or a week that you spend with public radio, the investment in this ultimately becomes very small. You know, Jeff, we took our kids this weekend to see Avatar, the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to the earliest show, so it was pretty inexpensive. But, you know, for 2.5 hours of entertainment, it was, you know, close to $40. If you think about 2.5 hours, I'm almost sure that most of you listening right now spend more than 2.5 hours every week with KERA. Just put a little price tag on that and think about how much value you've gained over the past few months with the station and make a contribution at 1-888-694-6931 or at kera.org.
How many other outlets let you use the product for free, test drive it if you will? And then decide if you're going to pay for it. If you went to a car lot and said, you know what, I want to drive, give me whatever car I'm interested in. I want to drive it for 5 or 6 years before I decide what I'm going to pay for it.
Yeah, you can test drive it, but you don't get to keep it if you decide you're not going to pay for it.
That's right. And if it was a situation where you could drive it for a few years and then decide if you wanted to pay or not, that's essentially the model that we have going here. You may have been listening to KERA or public radio for years, and maybe you haven't had an opportunity. Maybe no one's asked you. Maybe we haven't just said the right thing to you to get you to call. Let's try to make it today. Please do your part today at 888-694-6931. Perhaps your very own copy of Equally Shared Parenting by our guests this hour. Mark and Amy Vachon will tempt you to come on over to the membership side of the equation.
Very often I have books, and I love to share them with people in my life, and this one's already been requested by three different people right now. So we're going to have to kind of set up a little receiving line.
Getting texts during the show.
Somebody's going to have to buy their own copy of the book, because I just got one here. The telephone number to call if you'd like to receive this at the $120 contribution level is 1-888-694-6931. You can also go online to kera.org. It strikes me also as something that would be great to read before you ever decide to have kids, or while you're making the decision, get everybody on board.
Yeah, I mean, if it's interesting to you, we've got copies available to you at that $120 membership level. Of course, there are a variety of thank you gifts at any number of levels. Something that's been incredibly, and it's not surprising, but it's been incredibly popular are these Rick Steves European travel thank you gifts. And what's the big, the whole enchilada package?
Okay, $240, which works out to $20 a month.
Yeah.
This is, okay, all three of his newest books, which have just been updated, including the one called Travel is a Political Act, which
right.
is just an amazing work, and then some more traditional guidebooks, plus this boxed set of Rick Steves DVDs where you get over 80 episodes, like everything he's ever shot for PBS, including some outtakes.
Yeah, the
which,
outtakes are good.
are probably worth the $240 all by themselves. That's a thank you gift that we have available if you are a travel person and you want to make a contribution of $240. This one has been overwhelmingly popular.
And yeah, $240, you get every Europe Through the Back Door, Rick Steves television show, and all three books. And, you know, Rick spends 100 days a year shooting in Europe. Their shooting schedule is incredibly grueling because they have to churn out, you know, X number of shows in this many days, and it's, you know, they're flying close to the ground. He's a funny guy too, and there's some funny stuff, and the outtakes are funny. If you like Rick Steves, you'll really enjoy this, or if you have a friend who does, it's a $240 membership gift. Just call 888-694-6931. When the person you get on the phone will be able to give you all the details.
It's very simple to make the contribution to KERA, whether you're interested in a thank you gift or not. It just takes a couple of minutes. You pick up the phone and call 1-888-694-6931 or go online to kera.org. If you've wanted to check out thank you gifts and you don't want to talk about them a lot on the phone, you can go online and everything's listed there and they're pretty easy to find. We do ask that you give us a call now at 1-888-694-6931. Choose a copy of Equally Shared Parenting, Rewriting the Rules for a New Generation of Parents. That's available with our compliments at the $120 contribution level. Or you can just make a pledge that says, I love public radio. I will go out and buy my own book, but I want to make sure that this service remains strong and vibrant in North Texas. Again, the number 1-888-694-6931. You can go to kera.org. Back in a minute to talk about Equally Shared Parenting.
Funding for Think comes from SMU's continuing and professional education. Hundreds of non-credit personal enrichment and professional development courses begin this spring. Details online at smu.edu/CAPE.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. My guests this hour are Mark and Amy Vachon. Their new book is called Equally Shared Parenting, Rewriting the Rules for a New Generation of Parents. Join us at 1-800-933-5372, and that's where we find Cassandra in Dallas. Hey, Cassandra.
Hey. I was actually wondering, my husband and I don't have children yet, but we're probably going to start having them within the next year, and I'm in grad school, almost finishing, and I teach at a university, and my husband's a lawyer, and I was wondering, you know, he has such a busy schedule, and we've ended up, you know, in these traditional, you know, family roles, and I was wondering, is there any way that we can start practicing before we have kids to sort of divide up the chores or whatever it is, you know, because I'm afraid that when we have kids, I'm going to be so overwhelmed.
Mark and Amy, any thoughts?
Well, I think that although it sounds ethereal, I think that probably the most important thing to do is talk about what you want to be to each other when you become parents. Because if you've got that groundwork laid, then you're both on board as a team far more easily to tackle who's going to do the laundry and who's going to do the, you know, the mundane stuff, because there's a lot of it. And I had a lot of these fears, too, when we were pregnant with our first child, when I was pregnant with our first child.
So having the conversation about, yeah, we want to stay as peers as we grow in 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, and what does that mean compared to what we see around us in all of the couples that we know who have had children? What's worked for them? What hasn't worked? What do we see in their lives that we want to emulate or avoid? I think those are the really kind of grand-scale conversations to have. And then in terms of practicing, hey, practicing is always good. So maybe coming up with, wow, what does it take to run this home now? And what do we think it might take to run the home when we have kids, which you'll only find out for real when you have them, but you can do some guessing.
Yes, so and then double the amount of work. Excuse me. Go ahead.
I don't know if Mark wants to add anything here, but those are my initial thoughts.
I think we say, you know, the only requirement to live the ESP lifestyle is two willing partners. So I guess now is as good a time as any to figure out if you're both on the same page and what the kind of life you're trying to create. You know, as you try to divide up what it takes to run your home right now, you can kind of sense some of the difficult areas. You know, if one person's always bowing out saying, oh, you do it better, just do it. We think that's just a slippery slope to not owning their portion of what needs to be done. So if, you know, traditionally or stereotypically, the woman will say, well, I'll make all the decorating decisions because I just care about it more. And the guy says, fine, you just go ahead and do that. And the guy might stereotypically say, you know, I have more meetings to do this week, so I'll just stay late and why don't you make dinner every night? And I guess I would say pay attention to those kinds of dynamics even before you have kids, because as everybody will tell you, they get more and more difficult to tease apart once the kids are involved, because you know, you don't have the flexibility of a single life. You get the kids who need attention, and they have demands on a day-by-day basis. So you're asking all the right questions. Now is the time to pay attention to how your lives are going, and if you don't like the direction, now's the time to readjust.
Let's go next on the phones to Kenneth in Commerce. Hello, Kenneth.
Hello.
Hi, go right ahead, please.
I'm kind of jumping into this program. I was in between classes, and I caught you guys were talking about parenting, and I feel like my situation is rather unique. Surely not the only person, but I'm looking for any advice you could give me. About 2.5 years ago, my wife passed away, and we had two toddlers together, and she had a couple other children. Well, they went to their father. I also have an older daughter from a previous relationship that lives out of state. But specifically, my question is, as far as dating and future marriages, about a year after she passed, I had some time alone, and I prayed, and I finally decided, you know, it would be best for me and my children to find someone someday, for them to have a mother and me to have a wife. I think that's the way that families should work. And so far, in a year and a half, my luck has been pretty poor and kind of depressing at times. Specifically, there's been at least two occasions where the female interested, once she found out that I have children, made the decision not to pursue the relationship any further because of the children. They just weren't ready and willing to take on motherhood. And of course, I'm not asking for somebody to do the chores and all that stuff. I've grown accustomed to that.
Yeah, okay.
I'm just a wife and a mother, pure and simple.
Let's see if we can get some good advice. I really appreciate your call, and I did it myself for 5 years, and it's certainly not easy, so I'm sorry to hear about your loss. But maybe you have some ideas for Kenneth in finding someone who is interested in sharing his life with his children now that they're already in existence.
I think it's wise for him to be asking the right questions, which is, what kind of life does he want to have? He's out there looking for someone to share his life with, and I think it's important to make it clear. He's not looking for someone to take care of his kids and to take care of just all the work around the house. He's looking for a partner. So he can focus more on his energy on connecting with someone who has similar ideals and just connecting, you know, in the fun dating world of, you know, hooking up with somebody else and just, you know, getting along and enjoying life, and then coming up with a joint plan on how they can work long term. So yeah, it's difficult in the early days, like anybody who's dating, and just one more complication when you have kids. But I guess the good news about all of that is it might help you find someone ultimately who wants the same things you do. And if they're walking away because they don't want kids in the picture, you probably don't want to be with them anyway. So good luck to you as you continue your search.
Let's go back to the phones now, and this time we will speak with Jesse in Terrell. Hey, Jesse.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
This is a very interesting conversation, and I just wanted to share my daughter's perspective on this. She worked as a nanny for a professional couple. She was part-time. She worked about 20 hours a week, and she lived with the family. I thought that they did a spectacular job of sharing parenting and household responsibilities and also being very available for their two little girls, who were, one was a toddler and one was about 4 years old. However, when she when that relationship ended, she moved back to live with us and started going to school and was talking with me about it. Now, she comes, my husband and I had a very traditional a family arrangement where I was a stay-at-home mom and he worked full-time and did a lot of traveling. And so she was sharing with me what her goals and aspirations are for her own children, and she said she felt that it was inadequate, and that the sharing that her employers did was inadequate for the children, and that she felt as though her experience as a child of a parent that was always the same parent, always available to them, not that, you know, my husband was very involved, but there was always a relationship that she could depend on.
So, Jesse, excuse me for interrupting, but we're starting to go out of time. Basically, you mean that she felt like it was better to have been raised in a traditional family.
Yeah, that was her perspective, and absolutely. And I just would like to get your thoughts on that, because I thought they did a phenomenal job of exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, thanks so much for your call. I appreciate it.
I have a few things I could say to that. One is that that parents with any arrangement can do a terrific job. So when we see a terrific job done, it's a good thing to model. And I do know, though, that the majority, the statistics, recent statistics show that the majority of our Gen X and Gen Y young men and women, so the men also, want an equal partnership and balanced lives, which is a lot easier to accomplish with the model that of equally shared parenting. So if that's what they want, one thinks that if they can create that, they can be happier and then bring that happiness into their family. No statistics and data to prove that piece, but you know, we've seen that in the couples that we've interviewed for our book.
Mark,
so I think there's no right answer, and I also think that a lot of the couples that gravitate toward equally shared parenting do so because they want to maximize the time that they have with their children. They're very child-centric, not all, but many. And they, in many cases, they want to avoid any outside child care. And rather than completely sacrificing one person's career, if they don't want to do that, they find a way to do it with equally shared parenting. So they get a ton of family time and a ton of time, so there is always a parent there for their children, much the same way as the caller described she raised her children.
Amy and Mark Vachon are mom and dad to two children and founders of EquallySharedParenting.com. Their new book is called Equally Shared Parenting, Rewriting the Rules for a New Generation of Parents. Amy, Mark, it's been really interesting. Thank you so much for spending the hour with us.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you.
My name is Chris Boyd. I want to thank all of you who have participated in the show today, and especially to all of you who are joining KERA, making contributions of financial support, because this is what makes this station, this program possible. 1-888-694-6931 is the telephone number to call. You can also go online to kera.org. Want to say thanks to Forrest Barber in Fort Worth and Judith Reedy in Frisco for their contributions. Also, Charles Delfenis in Dallas and Marie Ratcliffe in Savannah.
Wow, Savannah.
Pretty cool.
Place of my...
There could be a Savannah, Texas that we don't
know about.
Place
of my own birth.
Savannah, Georgia.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, hey, thanks, Savannah. Also, Cindy Moore in Dallas, Mr. and Mrs. Judy Frenzel in Midlothian. Thank you so much for your calls, your online pledges. We've got just a few minutes here. And if we're going to achieve our goal of $250,000 total raised by 2 o'clock, we've got to make some progress. We're at 247.1 $247,100 raised. So a little ways to go there, a little ways to go on the overall drive goal of $600,000 as well. And your contribution right now at whatever level at 888-694-6931 will really help.
Fear not, we have unlimited bandwidth to make a contribution online and unlimited operators. We have a phalanx of operators standing by waiting to take your call. So you, there will be no waiting. 1-888-694-6931 is the telephone number, or you can go online to kera.org.
Chris, I see you eyeing the rainbow Twizzlers.
I'm kind of like fascinated, but I can't imagine putting those in my body.
No, I'm not eating this. Folks, I got a package of rainbow Twizzlers here from down the hall. I just had to carry it around for a little while because it's fascinating that this exists.
There are members of the staff, though, for whom would be quite a motivator.
This is fuel for the pledge drive right here.
Justin Martin, watch out.
Oh, if they were bacon-flavored, yeah, that would probably fly. 888-694-6931, online at kera.org. Do your part to support public radio programming in North Texas, the show that you just heard, the show you're about to hear, all the programs you hear every single day, all the news reports from our news staff, everything you get from KERA, the website, the podcasts, you name it. It all is there simply because someone like yourself, someone who listens to the station, chose to take responsibility and become a contributing listener to this radio station. It's as affordable as you want it to be. You can give $100. You can give $10,000. You get to decide. But really, all we want is your participation.
Think about what your values are and how your spending every day reflects those values. It may be that you make a point of buying organic foods and making sure that things are locally grown or sustainably raised. It may be that you avoid additional packaging and things. It may be that you like to give a lot of money to charitable organizations that help out people near and far. We are a not-for-profit organization. We're not exactly a charity because we are here, in many cases, providing a service for the people who pay for the service. But regardless of the setup, we do count on people who listen to make contributions to make the station work. We couldn't be here without 57% of our budget, which is what we get from listeners. So please be part of the formula that makes public radio possible at 1-888-694-6931.
Or online at kera.org. And as we mentioned earlier, you can get your very own copy of Mark and Amy Vachon's book, Equally Shared Parenting, Rewriting the Rules for a New Generation of Parents. It's interesting, and we thought that it might be interesting to you, and that's why Chris and I decided that this would be a great topic for the show. And also, we were pretty excited to be able to offer the book as a thank you gift at the $120 membership level when you call 888-694-6931. If you become a sustaining member at the $120 level, it's just $10 a month. From your bank account to KERA's account, it's really easy to set up, safe and secure, and you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to write a check. You don't even have to, you know, get your credit card out. You just take care of that when you make the call or online at kera.org.
We also still have copies from the last hour of the book by Donovan Campbell, Joker One, which is a story of his experiences as a Marine lieutenant in Ramadi. Really fascinating, gripping story. That is among the Think-related thank you gifts. You can check all of them out online at kera.org. Maybe there's something you heard last week that you wanted to take advantage of. They're all still available. You can also ask about them when you call at 1-888-694-6931.
Whatever the reason that you decide to become a member, that's reason enough. Whatever the reason you listen, that's reason enough to become a member. And you know, for whatever reason you found public radio, and however it is that you use the service, if you just use it to get the news in the mornings and the afternoons, if you listen all day, if you're listening right now, and it's part of the soundtrack of your day, that's great. We're thrilled that it's a portable, flexible service that you can use in a variety of situations for information, for news, for entertainment. But all we ask is that you do something to help pay for it, and that's to pick up the phone and call 888-694-6931 or contribute online at kera.org. Only with your support, only with you and you and you and you and you and all the other thousands of people in North Texas who have either contributed or are going to contribute, only with that support can this station continue to stay strong and continue to bring you the service.
This is KERA 90.1 Dallas-Fort Worth Denton and online at KERA.org. Think about this. If public radio contributes to your life, if it has changed, maybe not changed your life, but changed what you understood media could be and broadcast media in particular, that change became possible because someone came before you and made a contribution to the station. If you would love to be able to share and spread that value that you have derived, be the next contributor so that the next person can come along and find public radio and sort of pick up the daisy chain of people who listen and support the station. We're not exclusively asking people who are rolling in money. No, nobody who works here is rolling in money, and we're all members of the station. We are asking that you pay for your listening habit. 1-888-694-6931 is the number, or you can go online to KERA.org.
It just takes a couple of minutes. You can fill out the membership form all on your own in just about 90 or 120 seconds. If you want to look at the thank you gifts, you can check out those Rick Steves thank you gifts online as well. It just takes a minute to do your part for your public radio station. Again, the number is 888-694-6931 or online at KERA.org.
Remember again, a copy of Equally Shared Parenting is available as a thank you if you want to make a contribution of $120 or more. If you don't want a thank you gift at all, that's fine too. We do ask that you give us a call now, 1-888-694-6931, or make your contribution online at KERA.org. Thank you.
The Think production team includes associate producer Betsy Lewis and engineer Nilofer Arsala. Our senior producer is Jeff Whittington. Learn more about today's show, find out about upcoming programs, and download our free daily podcasts at kera.org/think. And we'd like to hear what you think about Think. Email your comments, questions, and suggestions to think@kera.org.